Brothers and sisters, the gospel that we just heard is a continuation of last week's gospel. And in my homily last week, which I'm sure all of you heard on my website, workingtobeathell.org, shameless plug, I mentioned that Jesus addresses one aspect of our human condition. In the feeding of the 5,000, we learned that humanity is deficient. Left on our own, we human beings can't even feed ourselves. But as we saw last week, God was able to work with our insufficiencies and turn them into a superabundance. In the gospel pericope that we just heard, we see another aspect of our human condition on display, that of our discontent, our dissatisfaction. The crowd of 5,000 men, not counting the women and children whom Jesus had fed to completion with 5 loaves and 2 fish, return to Jesus, and they ask him for a sign. This is quite telling, isn't it? Discontent with the miracle that they had just seen and participated in, the multiplication of the loaves and the fish, these people wanted a sign. You don't need to be the sharpest crayon in the crayon box to see the irony here. But again, this goes back to our human condition, doesn't it? We're a people who are never satisfied with what we've been given. When we look at the story of ancient Israel, we see this same dynamic. In our first reading from the book of Exodus, we heard that the people were grumbling against Moses and Aaron. Now, mind you, Moses and Aaron, through the hand of God, had just freed these people from slavery to the Egyptians. You would think that a thanks was in order. But no, the people come to them grumbling. They're unsatisfied. Now they want food. So God gives them food, manna, bread from heaven, which he miraculously provides for them 6 times a week. But then as scripture continues to tell us as we continue to read the story, even that doesn't satisfy them. They then decide they want more variety of food. And our human condition is such that we tend to never be satisfied. We tend to get bored with what we've been given rather quickly. And we tend to want more. This isn't just true for the people in biblical times. This is true for us today. We're constantly unsatisfied with what we've been given. You know, dial-up internet wasn't fast enough, so we wanted broadband. And even that seems painfully slow at times. The iPad 2 was somehow deficient, so now I need a new iPad with the Retina display. Last year's clothes are so, well, last year. So I need a new wardrobe. It seems that no matter what it is that we're given, we're never satisfied. You know, the great Notre Dame football coach, Lou Holtz, spoke of this. When I was a freshman at Notre Dame, he was giving this speech to the freshman class, and he was talking about this same dynamic. He said when he first got to Notre Dame, people told him, the fans told him, all I want is for you to play competitive football. He said, my first year we went out there, we went 6-5, and we lost those 5 games by a total of 17 points, and I thought that was pretty competitive football. And he said, I went back to the fans, and they said, we didn't want you to almost win them, we wanted you to win them. And so, the next year we went out, we went 9-3 and made it to a major bowl game, and I thought that was pretty competitive football. And he said, I went back to the fans, they said, we didn't want you to win most of them, we want you to win all of them. He said, so the next year I went out, went 12-0 and won the national championship. And I thought that was pretty competitive football. And I went back to the fans and they said, we mean by big scores. So it shows that we are never satisfied as human beings. We always want more. And so it should come for no surprise for those of us who live in a world where we're waiting for the next iteration of the new iPhone that the people in Jesus' day had already moved past this miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and were looking for that next great sign. And this causes them to approach Jesus with a challenge. Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. What can you do for us? You know, it's as if they were saying, well, yeah, that one meal was nice, but you know that Moses guy, he was able to provide food for 40 years in the desert. And Jesus immediately responds to this challenge by saying, it wasn't Moses who did that, it was my Father. And Jesus is reinforcing that message that was conveyed in the multiplication of the loaves. God is the shepherd. who will take care of his flock. God will provide us with what we need. God did, does, and will continue to provide for his people. God will give them the bread that comes down from heaven, the bread that will give life to the world. The people, discontent with what they presently possess, responded by saying, "Yes, that's what we want. Give us that bread, and then we'll be happy." And again, for those of us who live in a world where we need the new and improved version of everything can relate to this. You know, anytime a new product is released, isn't this our reaction? "Yes, that's the one I want. The new one that's more fashionable. That's what I need. Give me that, and I will be satisfied." Jesus then cuts to the very crux of the matter by saying, "I am that bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." You see, Jesus is telling us that if we want to truly be satisfied, we need him. He is the only source that can truly satisfy our longings. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, famously came to this realization. Augustine spent the early part of his life seeking fulfillment. And he sought it in all different ways. He sought it in affairs with women. He sought it in great intellectual pursuits and in material pursuit. And yet, each one of these things, he realized, failed to satisfy him completely. And in fact, each one seemed to leave him feeling more and more discontent in the long run. And then Augustine had this great moment of clarity where he realized that the only way he could truly be satisfied was in God. And thus his famous line, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." You see, in other words, we human beings will always be restless. We'll always be discontent if we keep trying to fill our longings with anything other than God. See, as the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us, we human beings are made for God. And by the way, if you want to learn more about the Catechism, keep your eyes and ears peeled for some announcements in the bulletin, because we're going to be doing a series on the Catechism. And if you don't own a Catechism, I advise you to run out to Barnes & Noble or somewhere by the end of the week, or Death, whichever comes first, and acquire a copy. The Catechism is great. It's got all sorts of wonderful teachings. And it tells us that we're made for God. We have this built-in longing for God. And see, any attempt to fulfill that longing with anything that's not God will never satisfy us. Not even a Snickers bar can do the trick. See, we may find temporary solace in these things, sure. But as Augustine learned, and as the people of Israel learned, and as the people who fed on the 5 loaves and the 2 fish learned, such solace is fleeting. It's only the bread of life, it's only Jesus Christ who can truly satisfy our longings. Everything else, to borrow a phrase from St. Thomas Aquinas, is just straw. So as we gather here today to celebrate the Eucharist, we need to be mindful of what it is that we're sharing. We're sharing in the one thing that can truly satisfy us, the bread of life, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And when we receive him in the Eucharist, we receive God into our very body, into our very being. And then what will happen is we find ourselves truly satisfied, because there's nothing greater for which we shall hunger or for which we shall thirst. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who feed on the bread of life.